Well, the movie War of the Worlds has made $370 million in just like 2 weeks. Tom Cruise has been everywhere talking about Scientology.
Did he give 10% to the church?
I don't know.
What would that come out to be?
What is Scientology? What is it? You see it a lot lately.
Hear it all over the news.
Very fascinating segment coming up in just a moment. Stay with us. I don't know if you have seen the movie yet, War of the Worlds. It's a very, very good movie. And how could you avoid it lately? Because the marketing campaign was so massive. And not only was there a campaign where they paid for commercials and that whole deal, but then you had Tom Cruise everywhere.
You know what that has caused, too? There has been a run on people wanting to see the original. A lot of people that never saw the original are going out trying to find it and want to watch the original War of the Worlds now.
I've never seen the original, but I do know that this film I thought was pretty good. It's made $370 million.
That's pretty good.
It came out June 29th.
Right.
So do the math. We're talking just a couple of weeks now. $370 million. It's the biggest film Tom Cruise has ever had so far, and the biggest for Steven Spielberg.
Now, are we about to learn about Scientology? Because we have a million questions. Because is Tom Cruise responsible for our curiosity for the most part?
For me, he is, because you've heard so much lately, and just in talking about
John Travolta, I believe another Scientologist.
Kirstie Alley? Is that,
I believe Kirstie Alley.
So you hear so much lately with the Tom Cruise thing that I've heard people say, what is that? What is that stuff? What is Scientology?
We could not have better guests to help us understand, because I see here on the info sheet that we've been provided that Ellen in particular, who we're about to meet, is good at explaining things in a simple way. How ideal for this radio program.
That could be helpful.
How ideal for the host of this radio program.
Hi, Ellen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We caught you with a mouthful of water. I'm sorry. Nice to see you. And you brought, Ellen is a minister. You brought a parishioner from the church, Brad, along. Hi, Brad. How are you?
Thanks.
It's a pleasure to see you guys.
Thank you for having us on.
Now, how long, we'll start with Brad. You're a parishioner. How long have you been a Scientologist then?
29 years.
Wow.
See, once again, let's just start with stuff we didn't know. I didn't know it had been around that long. I had no idea. I only recently started hearing about it, and I say recently, within the last maybe 10 years, and now because of the celebrity prominence. And immediately, my first thought, Ellen and Brad, when I hear about it, is this is a religion for celebrities. I guess it's because
it's
why it's in news.
I think that's part of it.
Well, Scientology is appeals to people of all walks of life.
You don't have to be a movie star, do you?
Exactly.
I wanted to say at the beginning, I forgot to, that any time, of course, we always keep our phone lines open, but at any time throughout the segment, if you have a question or a comment, whatever, 1-800-9-WAKE-UP is the direct line through to the studio here, 800-9-WAKE-UP. Now, when you go back and the things that I've heard and you wonder are what's true, what's not true, you see a lot in the media with the Tom Cruise deal, I keep hearing this whole thing is based on an alien by the name of Xenu. That there's this big alien named Xenu, and that's the root of Scientology. How does Xenu, or whatever that is, play into it?
That is not the root of Scientology.
So Xenu, whatever that is, I don't even know what it is. I don't understand it, but I just keep hearing that thrown out from time to time. So that has no root in Scientology.
There is something that's been drawn out of context from confidential materials and has really nothing to do with the basic tenets of Scientology.
I see. Give us the basic tenets, if you can, of Scientology this morning.
Well, probably one of the very first ones is that we see each individual as a spiritual being, and we find that there are certain things that are very important in life, including affinity, reality, and communication, which builds to understanding. And through Scientology, one becomes more aware of themselves as a spiritual being, becomes more aware of their fellows, their relationship with others, and eventually comes to a personal relationship with the Supreme Being.
Okay. With the Supreme Being.
With your idea of God, a Supreme Being. Do you call the Supreme Being anything?
The Creator, the author of the universe.
Okay. Are there Scientologists who would refer to the Supreme Being as God?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Now, what? Another thing that you hear about from time to time is that you've got a meter. I saw it on the sheet in the belief sheet. A nerve assist. Real technical stuff that I don't understand. So dumb it down for us, if you will.
Well, what I had been talking to your producer about mm-hmm. was the symbol of Scientology, which is an S with a double triangle. Mm-hmm. One of the triangles has ARC, stands for Affinity Reality Communication, and the other is KRC, mm-hmm. Knowledge, Responsibility, and Control. And I said, especially after 9/11 occurred, that was where the KRC triangle really came into play, because Scientologists have the knowledge of a technology we call the assist technology, which helps people when they're in a state of trauma. And in fact, it was the volunteer ministers of the Church of Scientology, which were the ones that the emergency medical technicians and the firefighters demanded be on the spot to be able to help them.
I see.
And the
Ground Zero firefighters?
Yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, so what did that do for the firefighters?
Well, there were two main basic assists that were used. One is called a locational, which helps orient a person in space and time, because if you experience a trauma, sometimes it reminds you of something you've had in the past. So you could be thinking of that, or you know, consumed with that, and so you're not able to react quickly, that kind of thing. So this brings the person into present time.
That's location assist.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And a nerve assist is what?
Well, that's something that, if you can kind of imagine that when someone is working really hard for a long period of time, and the nerves can kind of trap energy, and so the nerve assist basically goes along the nerve channels and allows that to be released.
That's something that it sounds very enjoyable. Now, are you taught to do that? Is it something you learn to do for other people?
Yes.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, anybody can come into the church and take a very basic course. I believe it's $15, and learn how to do these assists on others.
I don't want to use the word, because we've talked about it, massage, but that is what I am thinking when I hear, particularly about nerve assist, and just in terms of uptight, tense, and the ability to relax physically. Is that close? Close is it?
Well, I've only had a massage a couple of times, and from what I get is that there's a real deep needing.
I'm glad you said that.
Well, sometimes.
A deep sports massage once, and we were told it'd be the greatest thing in the world.
Doesn't feel very good.
Look, I'm man enough to admit, I was in tears. It hurt so bad. I like a softer touch.
I do, too.
A gentle, softer touch.
Yes.
You might like a touch. Yeah. A nerve assist.
Yes.
I think
exactly.
I could use a nerve assist.
There you go.
Now, of course, when you have in America what some people consider, you know, mainstream religions, Catholics and evangelical Christians, that sort of thing, I'll just bottom line for you what I am.
Independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, Bible-banging, foot-stomping, soul-winning, door knocking, pew jumping, devil chasing, sin hating.
We find with that on tape, it saves you
time. Yeah, saves a lot of time. It's a lot easier. How are, for example, Christianity and Scientology compatible? Are they?
Scientology can be used by anyone of any faith. Scientology is not mutually exclusive. That's why we don't have dogma with regard to the Supreme Being. The person comes to their own personal realization of their relationship with the Supreme Being.
Are many, or how many, of your Scientologists, generally speaking, I guess, combine Scientology with some other faith?
It's a small percentage. I would say most Scientologists are strictly Scientologists.
But it does happen.
Oh, yeah, yes. Absolutely.
I heard another thing that I thought was an interesting question I wanted to ask you guys. Is it I heard some say, really, if you think about it, when you hear what Tom Cruise is saying, that it helps people get off drugs, and that it's been very successful, I guess.
Don't be glib.
I'm going to try not to be. In helping folks get off drugs, and of course he says it helped him with, what was he, a...
dyslexia.
Yes, that he was helped in that area. I've heard some say, should it be called, is it a religion or more of a self-help, or is it a full-fledged religion?
It is definitely a full-fledged religion.
Although religion ought to be self-help.
Really?
Well, there's a difference in getting a 10-step self-help book. Mm-hmm. And, like, for example, I mean, there are people that are in AA or, right. or NA
right.
that probably wouldn't consider it. Their, if you said, what's your religion? They wouldn't say, well, I'm NA. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. so that's considered more of, I guess, a self-help thing.
I consider all religion self-help.
Well, and in fact, if you look at the history of religions and the way mankind has typically handled these issues and problems within society, it's done through religious counseling. It's only been within recent history that man has created these health, self-help organizations, and now you know they're trying to reverse that back and say that there's some connection or some misalignment when a religion is doing the same thing, and yet historically that that has been the root of, or the basis, the place where people have gone to for their help.
I'll tell you when you're going to lose me now. You're going to lose me. I'll be honest about this. I'm very candid. You're going to lose me when they open the Church of Dr. Phil. At that point.
We've talked about this somewhat in dealing with this today. We saw both, Steve and I saw a, I believe it's professor. If I'm, I might be off on this, so make sure that I'm right. Mm-hmm. Professor Turetsky, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Okay. You're with Carnegie Mellon University, is that right?
That's correct. We're in Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh. Okay. What, give us, because I'm not for sure, you're a professor, your credentials a little bit.
I'm a professor of computer science. I'm a free speech activist, and I've been observing Scientology for the past 10 years.
We got, the lines are jammed with people who have questions and that sort of thing. Professor Turetsky has a totally different view, and he said, that there's a website claiming that Scientology took part, he claims, unless I'm getting it wrong, in a woman's death. What is up with that, Professor Turetsky?
And what do you mean when you say took part? Be specific. What are you talking about?
Well, this is the case of Lisa McPherson. She was a Scientologist for 18 years, and in 1995, she wanted to leave the church. She suffered a mental breakdown and was taken to the emergency room at Morton Plant Hospital in Clearwater, Florida. And the Scientologists came and got her, convinced her to leave against medical advice, took her back to their headquarters in Clearwater, and she became progressively worse. She was held against her will. She was denied medical care. She was forcibly sedated with chloral hydrate and liquid Valium. And eventually, she died of severe dehydration. She lost 40 pounds in 17 days. Her body, when brought to the emergency room at another hospital 25 miles away because it was staffed by a Scientology doctor, was covered in bruises and insect bites. The autopsy photos are on the web. And it's just a horrifying thing what happened to this woman. And it resulted in criminal charges filed against Scientology and a civil lawsuit filed by her family against the church.
Let's ask Ellen. Could I interrupt if they're familiar with this case or their comment on it?
Yes, absolutely. And in fact, a lot of what he's portraying is incorrect and very inaccurate. And the case, both the civil and criminal cases were both dropped. Mr. Turetsky, it was.
The civil case was not dropped. It was settled. Scientology has to pay.
Professor, one at a time, please.
Yes. Thank you. One of the things that's being misrepresented here is the woman had a traffic accident. That's why she was sent to the hospital. It was her choice to take on the medical treatment that she did and decline the medical treatment that she declined. There was never any link to activities of Scientology or its leadership in her death.
And I just wanted to add that what she actually died of was a pulmonary embolism. You can't tell me that people don't die in any religion, and it's something that usually happens. It's been found by studies when a person experiences an injury to their leg. So
the blood clot will sometimes travel to the heart or lungs, and yes,
and that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard that many times.
So, Professor, you're through this website linking this, or I guess by exposing it in, us to the website to Scientology.
Yeah, the website is called lisaclaus.org.
Who owns the website?
I do.
Oh, it's your website?
Yes. Lisa Claus, LisaClause org.
Why your interest in this and motivation to the point of, and certainly you have the right, but I'm just interested in what motivated you to create this website.
This is only one of half a dozen websites that I have that expose the various criminal activities of Scientology. My real concern with Lisa McPherson is that this is not going to be the only case. Scientologists are required to sign a release form, which we call the Lisa Clause, that gives Scientology the right to do to them what they did to Lisa McPherson. That is to hold them against their will, to subject them to any treatment that Scientology deems appropriate. And the form says that Scientology cannot be held legally responsible for the consequences.
Ellen, Brad, our guest, our Scientologist, did you sign the Lisa Clause form?
Unfortunately, he's portraying something complete. This is what happens when you have someone who has absolutely no experience with the church himself. There is a particular agreement that Scientologists sign, which is for our benefit. It basically says that we are in disagreement with psychiatric treatment, and we want our we want to be helped by members of the church.
So that's where the Tom Cruise thing comes from on the Today Show,
the controversy over Ritalin kids. Yeah.
You actually sign something stating that you believe. Say that again, the way you just said it. That you believe psychiatric treatment is wrong. Is
it's just not something that we as Scientologists subscribe to
in any form or fashion ever, or does it depend? Is it a case by case situation?
That's correct. In any form.
So no child should be on Ritalin,
or no one should take an antidepressant, or let me ask you: should any child be on Ritalin?
Have you ever seen anyone cured by Ritalin? And he's ever seen anybody cured by an antidepressant?
They mask the problem.
Exactly.
And what our point is
you should treat the problem, not the symptom.
But why can't you treat the symptoms?
I haven't seen some people cured of cancer, but I've seen them treated by the drug. You know what I mean? Helped with their pain or whatever. And sure, it masks, doesn't necessarily cure. I can't say I have seen that, but still not every drug is a cure for the illness.
In other words, Scientology is saying deal with the source of your depression. Don't mask it with a pill.
Exactly.
Correct. But on the specific Ritalin, that's a no-no in Scientology. I mean, would you ever, in Scientology, ever have a child that is on Ritalin, or what are the other ones? You know, they're all the same, but any of those.
Well, look at the fact that we have 8 million children in the United States.
Oh, it's a definite problem.
Mm-hmm. And we, the United States, is something like 90% of the usage of these types of drugs. Why is that?
Well, my question is,
because it's an easy, quick fix.
I think it's way, way overprescribed. But my question is, should, in your view, in Scientology's view, should it ever be used? Ritalin or, I wish I could think of the other names.
Adderall.
Ritalin. Those, should they ever be used in the view of Scientology?
And what does the medical community say? And do you have doctors in the church?
We do have doctors in the church.
I wouldn't imagine that many psychiatrists are members, probably.
Well, a lot of psychiatrists are coming out in agreement with us, and so is the FDA. Here's the really interesting thing about some of the controversy that's occurred recently, is that the issue is being ignored. The issue is really, you know, the drugging of these children, and a black box warning just came out, like in the last few weeks, saying that these drugs lead to suicide and homicidal behavior.
And when you're taken off the drug later.
No.
You're on it.
As a side effect almost?
Yes, exactly.
I think you're going to find some sympathetic ears to the Ritalin argument.
My question is, should, in Scientology's view, any child ever be put on Ritalin or a drug like that?
Not in my view.
No. And does the church, is that the stated belief of the church officially, or just your view?
Well, according to our creed, we believe that that mentally caused illnesses should not be alienated from religion or condoned in non-religious fields.
Yeah, as Matt Lauer said on the Today Show, that he had observed, it seemed, many children, I don't know if he said many, but children that have been helped significantly.
Or people helped by antidepressants. Or would the church argue they're not really being helped?
Well,
exactly. They're not being helped. They're, again, their symptoms are being masked. They're not really
addressing the issue that, the person has.
If I'm feeling down because of something that's happened in my life, and I go buy a fifth of whiskey, I may feel pretty good tonight, but tomorrow when I sober up, and I see this is a pretty good analogy, tomorrow when I sober up, the problem is still there. It may be worse, and I'm going to feel awful tomorrow. Is it the same thing with these medications?
Exactly.
Psychiatric medications?
Exactly.
My only problem with this, and I understand a lot of what you're saying, and I can agree, but it seems to me that it's pretty drastic and radical to say never in a case of Ritalin or other psychiatric
drugs. You're touching a lot of parents out there right now, because there's so many that have children on Ritalin, and you're right, it is overprescribed, I think. I know somebody who's I don't want to get into, you know, their name or anything and be too specific. I don't want to hurt feelings, but she has all five children on Ritalin. Now, I could see maybe the argument that her teen has it, but not the five-year-old, the seven-year-old, the nine-year-old, and just on up the ladder. So a lot of parents are obviously relating to this.
But to say never concerns me.
If you actually took a child or took anyone who's experiencing some sort of mentally caused ill to medical doctor, a strictly medical doctor, and they did a thorough searching exam, they lots of like in 70% of the cases they'll find lactose intolerance, you know,
another cause.
Exactly, something physical that can be handled.
When we come back, we're going to grab some more calls because our phone lines are jammed. When you hear someone hang up, that means you can get in. Dr. David Teresky, when we come back, I want to find out about this.
Absolutely.
He says that Katie Holmes' life is in danger right now. We'll find out what that means and what he means by that. He's a professor from Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And more with our guest, Brad Bauman and
Bauman.
And Ellen Forney. They are members of Scientology, and of course Ellen is the Director of Community Affairs.
And we will work your phone calls in too. The lines are filled at 1-800-9-WAKE-UP. When you hear it, the line clear, and we promise we'll do that in a minute. Grab it nationwide, toll free, 1-800-9-WAKE-UP. All about Scientology.
Hey, we're talking about Scientology because of Tom Cruise, quite frankly, and all the deal in the last month or so in the big movie War of the Worlds.
And if we're going to, obviously, because of limited time, leave a whole lot of ground uncovered. Scientology.org, O-R-G, for more information, Scientology.org is the website. And then we have a professor on the phone, Professor Dave Teresky. And he has several websites about Scientology. Your website that you mentioned earlier, Professor Teresky?
The earlier one was lisaclaws.org.
Now, I have to ask you, sir, there's some things on pulled from your websites that are disturbing, some quotes, some comments I want to ask you about this morning. Some of these I can't even say without losing our license to broadcast.
Which I spoke to Professor Teresky about those off the air. I asked him, I said that we would probably get into this, and he said that he thinks it's unfair. He hasn't personally attacked our guests. He thinks that it's just a way to muddy the water and attack each other personally.
This isn't a personal attack. I mean, if you put this on your website, you obviously are standing by it. You know, the quote.
Where on my website? What are they talking about? There's nothing on my website that I'm ashamed of or embarrassed about.
All right, well, then you tell me if any of these things are on your website. You speak for yourself. Let's be fair here. The Salvation Army, a bunch of blankheads. Is that on your website?
No, it's not.
All right. Man, Hispanics are blanked up, which is why they're still the working class blanks. Is that on your website?
No, it's not. None of this stuff. I've seen this nonsense from them before. This is coming from Scientology's Office of Special Affairs. It's their, dirty trick squad.
Bomb instructions on how step-by-step guide to make a fertilizer bomb. Is that on your website?
I do have a website about a free speech case, which involved a young man who was, I think, unfairly prosecuted by the government. And because I have a website about this free speech case, which includes the evidence against this young man, there is some very poorly worded, very poorly written amateur bomb instructions which were written by a 16-year-old high school student.
All right, what about blank the Muslims? Check out the bloody Muslims. Geez, what loons?
Come on. What kind of lunatic would put that kind of thing on a website?
Well, that's why we're asking here.
Well, I'm telling you, and I think we ought to, if you just want to keep reading this defamatory crap, you're going to waste the time of your listeners.
I understand. We wanted to give you a chance to respond. And Brad, you provided us with the information. He says it's not accurate.
And it may not be on your website, Mr. Teresky, but it was put on the internet by you?
It was put on the internet by the Office of Special Affairs of the Church of Scientology. You cannot cite any website of me or any internet posting by me. That's not my public statement. That's Scientology's public statement.
It came out of your university. It was
where?
Your emails.
My emails? What emails? Emails to who? Written when? What are you talking about? You're making this stuff up.
Nobody's making it up anymore.
You've got no citations. My emails. What do you know about my emails? You're just making this stuff up. You think I would email stuff like that to Scientology?
Well, let me ask this question then, because I think he has a point, the professor has a point, that we could go round and round attacking each other all day and saying, well, you're this and you're that, and not get very far. But I think it's fair now, since we did that to Professor Turetsky, to give Professor Turetsky a chance to say what he thinks he claims Scientologists and our two guests, he says, are not telling us. He's got a couple of questions for them, so go ahead, Professor.
Thank you. I think your listeners have not yet heard what Scientology is really about, but I appreciate the opportunity to ask Reverend Forney and Mr. Bauman about this, and let's see how honest they're willing to be on the air. Isn't it true that the essence of Scientology is past life recall? You're taught to recall traumas, engrams, L. Ron Hubbard called them, from not only your present life, but from your past lives as well. Is that not true?
Yes, we do believe in past lives.
And you believe that you can recall your past lives?
Correct.
Now, that's one area where Scientology differs from other religions that believe in past lives. Hindus and Buddhists don't believe that they can accurately recall information from their past lives, but Scientologists do. Now, isn't it the case also that Hubbard believes that we've lived these past lives over millions of years? Perhaps even billions of years. That's what L. Ron Hubbard has written in his writings. Isn't that true?
That could be the case.
Okay. And now, wouldn't it make sense then that since the human race is only about 400,000 years old, that some of our past lives were lived as other species on other planets? Scientology believes that as well, doesn't it?
It's not a part of the tenets in that form, no.
Well, let me read you a quote from the Technical Dictionary of Dianetics and Scientology. This is L. Ron Hubbard's definition of space opera. He says, space opera is of or relating to time periods on the whole track millions of years ago which concerned activities in this and other galaxies. Space opera has space travel, spaceships, spacemen, intergalactic travel, wars, conflicts, other beings, civilizations and societies, and other planets and galaxies. It is not fiction and concerns actual incidents and things that occurred on the track. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Okay, so now we're making some real progress here. Scientologists believe in past lives. They believe some of their past lives were lived as aliens in other civilizations and other galaxies. And so, doesn't it make sense then that the Xenu story, which is the story of how this evil galactic overlord Xenu murdered billions of galactic citizens 75 million years ago and dumped their bodies on volcanoes here on Earth, wouldn't that make sense to a Scientologist who's been through all this past life recall training that the church gives them?
Well, first of all, let's get off the word alien. That assumes a lot of other, lack of a better word, I guess, UFO-type science fiction-y
right.
garbage.
Agreement from Mars.
Yeah, as far as the other story that you want to bring in here, Mr. Turetsky, that's lifted from illegally gotten documents that were stolen, that are confidential documents. I'm not going to honor those with any...
What are confidential documents in the church? What is that?
There are some higher levels of auditing, which is our form of counseling that's done, that involves some materials that are confidential until you get to that level.
So when you get to that level, you can read those things or see those documents, but until, if I go to the church tomorrow because I want to join or learn about it, there are certain things involving the, I don't want to say doctrine, beliefs, I don't know what the right word is, but there are certain things that I won't be able to read until I get to a certain level.
That only involves your counseling. It does not involve the basic understanding of your relationship as a spiritual being.
If I go to a church and want just the basic information,
yes,
what happens?
Well, there's a tremendous amount of information.
Is it given to me at the church? What would I do? How does that work?
What would be the purpose? There must be a rationale behind why that information is not revealed until you reach a certain level. What is the thinking there?
The main reason is in any counseling process, you're only getting what it is you need at that point, at that stage. These materials are just at a higher level. You know?
Can I just break in here?
Yes.
I think Mr. Ballin is confused about what's confidential and what's not. Warren McShane, who is a high-level church official, testified in court that the Xenu story is not itself considered confidential in Scientology. The only thing that's confidential is the exact procedure by which you remedy the spiritual upsets caused by what Xenu did to these poor space aliens. It's okay to talk about Xenu. Warren McShane talked about it in open court and testified under oath that the Xenu story itself, the Galactic Overlord, his head of the Galactic Confederation 75 million years ago, that is a well-known piece of Scientology theology and is not confidential.
We have to take a break. There's a legal battle, or has been, then, over the material that Professor Turetsky has accessed and made public. And you guys are alleging that it is illegal. It's information that he wasn't supposed to have access to. He somehow got it and has publicized it.
Right.
Yes.
Have the courts ruled?
He perverted it first.
Have the courts ruled in this case?
I'm not sure.
They have
ruled. In his case, I'm not really sure.
Okay.
In the case of the stolen materials, it was ruled that the person who stole them was an incredible witness and it was dismissed against.
A lot of the callers want to know why so many celebrities are into it. I know both of our guests have views on that. And do you have to be rich to be a Scientologist?
1-800-9-WAKE-UP. We will take the calls that have been holding, too, as we do our last segment when we come back. We're with Ellen and Brad and Professor Turetsky, and we're talking about Scientology.
47 after. Be right back.
DC Morning.
The only thing I hate is that we're running out of time.
Oh,
this stuff is so fascinating, and there's so much stuff to talk about.
Can we just, as quickly as possible, and I don't want to disservice to anybody, we've had a lot of people call with some very interesting questions they've raised. It may be quicker if we just repeat the question. I know you guys are listening, and then we can get our guests to respond to them as quickly as possible.
I know one of the top questions we've gotten is, why are so many celebrities into Scientology? I'll first ask Ellen and Brad how they feel about that.
Well, as I kind of alluded to earlier, people of all walks of life, Scientology appeals to everyone. And I can't really speak for the celebrities. It's not my duty or desire to presuppose why they would want to get into Scientology. But I can tell you from my own experience that it gives me a stable point from which I can then live my life.
Brad, do you have any thoughts on why a lot of celebrities seem to be attracted to it?
Well, as I pointed out to both of you before, if you read anything printed in the media, they say Tom Cruise, the Scientologist, John Travolta, the Scientologist. You don't hear that with Tom Hanks, with Harrison Ford, with Glenn Close. They don't point out
what religion
background is. It's only because there's some controversy they can tie to it, and so the media pumps that up. And it appears there are a lot of celebrities, and it's this big celebrity-based conspiracy or something. And that's not it at all. Some people have found something that works for them, and they've been very successful. If you look at it, the celebrities that are in Scientology are doing very well.
Professor Turetsky, why do you think Tom Cruise, for example, since he's the hot one right now, why is Scientology attractive, or why is he a Scientologist?
Well, Scientology actively recruits celebrities. They even have special celebrity centers where celebrities are fawned over and pampered. Tom Cruise doesn't see the ugly side of Scientology. As a Scientology celebrity, he gets very special treatment, very special handling.
Do you have celebrity centers, Ellen and Brian?
We do have celebrity centers, but they're not fondling these people necessarily.